We're going to get started. These series classes are going to be on the promises of God. And Ed and Jenny volunteered to to open us up. They're going to give a quick overview and tell us some things about the promises of God, I guess. Right, brother?
Right.
So we'll get started. And I guess, Kim, you want Kim to open us in prayer?
Sure.
She does.
Hey, God, thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity. And I just ask that you would bless Ed and his teaching today, Father God. Yes. And we just thank you, Lord God, for this time of fellowship and learning, Lord God. And thank you for this meal that we're partaking of in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Introduction to God's promises. First definition. A declaration that something will or will not be done, given, etc., by one. So we all make promises. God makes promises in His Word. Sometimes a promise is something that you're not going to do, and sometimes a promise is something that you're going to do. I guess one could say that something you're not going to do is something that you're going to do because you're not. Anyways. I won't get into that. That might be a little too deep. Yeah, especially when you guys got 1 hour less sleep. Second Peter 1:4 says, through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. The purpose of God's promises is that we can participate in His divine nature. Because us as humans, fallen humans, we fail our promises. And if anybody knows in this room, I'm sure someone has promised you something that they haven't fulfilled. And some of us know that we promised someone something that we didn't fulfill, because we're not God. We're not perfect. So our promises sometimes might even be a flippant promise, where we promise we're going to do something and, you know, we just kind of, it wasn't that really that important. Maybe to that kid, especially a child, you know, they take every promise like gold, you know, they're like, I'm holding on to this, right? And a lot of us as children probably had those disappointments in our lives. But the other day, I was talking to my wife, and yeah, today I didn't talk to her, but yesterday, the other day I did. And we were walking outside, and it was funny because it was, obviously you guys all know it's cold, but it was like really cold that day. And I said, well, spring's coming. It's like a couple weeks away. And she's like, I just don't see it. I don't see it happening. I was like, okay, today is this day, and the season ends, and spring is coming. And she's like, well, I just don't see how it can happen when it's negative. Pastor Don, you got?
Yeah, I was going to say, wife isn't too bright, is she? how old is she? She don't know spring coming?
Yeah, I'm just trying to clarify this for the class, okay? So you didn't realize that spring was on its way?
Okay, yes.
Oh, okay. Well, we got that clear now. Okay, I can sit here and drink my coffee.
Okay, but when you look outside and you see 4 feet of snow in your front yard, and they said spring is in 14 days, it's hard to.
Jenny, we walked by what?
Yes, I know. By sight. And I was doing by sight that morning.
So she's saying she can't see it, and I told her, hey, God says that He set the seasons, and they will come in their time. Right?
We love you, Ed.
Yeah.
Teacher wife.
So, we can count on my the reason I told you that story is we can count on God's promises. We might not be able to see it in the natural, but be assured, just like the seasons, he gave us that example in the natural so that in the spiritual, we have some connection there. And God set the earth, he set the stars, he set the moon in place, he set everything in place. Everything's held together by his power, by him holding it together. If God stopped for one instant, everything would fall apart. So, if he promises us something, you can take it to the bank, right? Another thing I was telling my wife, I'm like, hey, in God we trust. In all else, everyone else pays cash, right? All right. Philippians 3:10 says, this is Paul, he says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participate in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. I put that up there because it ties to, you know, this should be our desire too, to participate in his sufferings. No one wants to hear that. But, like Ed Trout was preaching last night, was that's the road that he called us to, is to take up our cross. And that's actually participating in his divine nature. If we participate in his sufferings, we also participate in his resurrection, in his glory, in his exaltation. You have something to add?
Well, when Ed and I were talking, we were doing the study together, when we were talking about promises, and of course, being a mom, I do mom duties all day long, and I have my kids talk to me, ask me questions. But when you promise your children something, or if you have a niece or a nephew that you've brought, and you've promised them something, and they constantly are asking you, oh, remember, you promised to do this for me. Remember, you promised to take me to the mall. You promised to take me to the mall. Don't forget, you promised to take me to the mall. Children take that to heart the same way we take God's promises to heart, to where when you look at your children and you see their joy and their love for you, and they look at you and you say, you promised me, they know you're going to fulfill that. They know that you said it with your words, and you're never you're accountable for what you've done. When I've had in my life, I've had an aunt in my life who would always promise me something, and she would never fulfill it. So I knew when she said it to me, I was like, well, I'm not even going to hold her accountable because I've heard this a million times before. But with God's word and his promises, they're always true. They're always promised. The words never come back void, ever. So this is something that I have known that when, like I said, when Ed and I we were going through this study, I always look at my children for examples for a lot of things, but when my kids looked at us and said, remember you promised, they know that we are true to our word. In our house, we do this pinky thing where if the girls have to do something and...
My wife, not me.
I say, you got pinky, and then they go to grab my pinky, and I say, well, don't pinky unless you mean it. And they're like, I mean it. And I hold them accountable the same way they hold me accountable, because your words mean truth. And we hold that to each other in the same way when we look at God's promises. It's truth. It's a truth that we hold on to, that we live by every day.
I say yes or no, and they know that no means no, and yes means yes. Yeah. It's what the word says, right? If I say no, they don't ask. They might ask again, but if they get two no's, they won't ask again. If they get three no's, they might get a paddle. We won't go there. Sometimes they'll get a maybe, but. Go ahead. Go ahead, Taylor. They want to know whether no means no or yes.
Is it no? He said no, you give up your
Sometimes, not all the time. Okay. Well, it depends on what it is. If it's something little, it might be a yes. After he already said no, then he might think about it and be like, okay, fine, I'll do that. But then sometimes if it's like something big, he'll be like, no, I said no, don't ask me again. And then you just don't ask him again because you know that means no.
I left her at home one time. She wouldn't get up out of bed. I told her, I said, I'm going to leave you if you don't get up. Told her that 2 days in a row. I left her. She called me crying. Dad. All right.
I love you.
Who are the promises for? You know, we look at the book, our word, the Bible, and we're reading the Old Testament, and it talks about Israel, and we think, well, that was for Israel. Certain things were. You have to read things in the context, right? But it talks about, here, Romans says, the people of Israel, theirs is the adoption, the sonship. Theirs, the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of the Messiah, who is God over all, forever praised. Amen. It is not as though God's word has failed, for not all who are descendants from Israel are Israel. Nor, because they are his descendants, are they all children of Abraham. On the contrary, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. In other words, it is not the children by physical descent who are God's children, but it's the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. Then in Romans 9:26 it says, and in this very place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they will be called children of the living God. So what's that talking about? It's talking about are the Gentiles, those coming to Christ through faith. Just like Isaac was the promise through faith. And you got something, Pastor Don?
Yeah, it's important scripture because today we hear it on the TV, we hear it on the radio so much that these people that live in Israel are God's people.
Right.
They're not. Okay, they may be Jewish of Jewish blood, just as this scripture here says, but you'll hear it all the time. You know, God has these are God's people and the promises. No. Mm-hmm. It's those who now belong to God through the promise, through Christ. You make up the real Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So all those promises that were given to natural Israel now continued on. But this is a teaching that is prominent in many, many churches. And it even affects the public policy in this country, the way we deal with them. Not that, hey, you know, we shun them, but the promises now, really, the people of God, as Romans says here, Paul says, who's a Jew? He whose heart has been circumcised by the Spirit of God. So he's right. Drawing an illustration. Those who are of physical descent, natural Israel, somebody who's a Jew, is not today, or in the New Testament terms, a child of God. In fact, Jesus even told the Pharisees and scribes at that time, your children are your father, the devil.
Right.
Well, they were descendants of Abraham physically, but it's those who are descendants spiritually now through the Spirit. So be careful because it's very easy to get into this, you know, this debate, but I'm glad you brought this out. It had that scripture there that we need to understand that these promises that were promised in the Old Testament as well as the even greater promises under the New Covenant belong to the church, not right. to somebody who's just naturally a Jew.
Right. Yeah, Romans is a very rich in this where Paul was bringing forth to the Gentiles, the Romans, that exactly what we're talking about. And if you read this whole passage, and actually a couple chapters, like chapter before and after, you'll see that concept. And even Donovan did a good teaching on sonship, if you ever, you know, if you want to look that up again, I'm sure it's on tape. And he talked about it. The promises are for us because we're in faith through Christ. through his word, you know, he promised that he makes many promises, and you have to read those. And we're going to go through all that. I know there's a bunch of teachers that are going to go over each promise, and this is just kind of an overview of what it means. Lastly, does God forget his promises? Is God like us, where he might make a promise and then forget about it? I like what one of the things that Trout said last night was, God doesn't move quickly, but he moves suddenly. That was kind of, you know, because in our mind, we want things today, tomorrow, you know, and the word says, you know, a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day to God, right? Because he's outside of time. So, but when God does something, it still takes you by surprise, because it's just, you know, here it is. Like when I was at work and me and my boss were talking about that promotion for probably a couple of years, he was trying to get me to go into that role of being the director. And at first I was like, well, you know, I'm kind of comfortable where I'm at, and I kind of want to do the IT thing a little bit longer. And then we talked about it, and I tell my wife about it, and she's like, yeah, tomorrow, you know. I'm like, no, settle down, honey. It's not going to happen tomorrow. And then we talked about it, and I went to him, and I said, you know what, I'm ready to do it. And I went to him around Christmas time. And he's like, that's great. That's the best Christmas present you ever gave me. But then it didn't happen right then, you know. So then what was going to happen over the next year? We were just going to kind of, he was going to try to take me and walk with me, kind of, you know, teach me all the things he does. And then one day I'm sitting in a meeting and he walks in. He's like, I'm doing it right now. I'm like, in front of, you know, all the management. And I was like, okay. And you know, that's like God. He, you know, he promises you something. He makes promises in his word, and then he's, bam, he does it. You know, you're waiting and waiting. I know, you know, if you look at the scriptures, they were waiting for the Messiah to come. Everyone was looking for it, because back in Daniel it talks about when the Messiah will come, when the kingdoms are set up, when during the time of Rome, that's when the kingdom was to come. And everyone knew that was the time period, because they studied the scripture. They just didn't know how it was going to happen, when, but they had that time frame. So that's why it talks about, you know, the false messiahs come in, and you know, to be careful, all those things, because they were looking for something in the natural, and they were looking for a conqueror to come and set up a natural kingdom, when God had godly things in mind, and men had manly things in mind, I should say. God's always true to his promise. And they weren't expecting it. They were expecting it, but they didn't know when. And then when it showed up, they're like, no, that's not it. All right, so we got to be careful that we read our scripture and know that the promise is what the promise is. You know, you don't miss it. Make sure that you don't go off on some, you know, weird belief or something. You should make sure that if you get a personal word or something like that, you should have it checked out with the pastors and confirmation, and make sure that, you know, that's tested. The Bible tells us to test all spirits, right? You should test what I'm telling you right now. You should look it up and make sure that I'm telling you what's accurate. So does God forget his promises? Psalms 105:8 says, he remembers his covenant forever, the promise he made for 1,000 generations. I'm sure Abraham, when God made the promise to him, was looking for that. It didn't even happen in Abraham's time, the promise that he made. But Abraham didn't lose faith over it either. Romans 5:6. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. The reason I'm using that, because we all see that promise. You know, back in Genesis, when man fell, that was the first promise, that God was going to give a seed to the woman, and that seed would overcome. And that seed was Christ. That was the first promise.
As we see with Abraham, what you got to be careful of is that God did promise that, but what is it that Abraham did with his wife is in the waiting process, because it wasn't going quickly, they took it upon themselves to step out and make it happen themselves. And that all only caused turmoil. Whereas we got to be patient, because it's going to be done, but it's going to be done, as that says, in God's time. So what we need to be doing in the midst of that waiting is we need to constantly be drawn near to God until he brings it about. Constant communication. Had they been pressing into God, things could have worked out differently. You know, they would have said, okay, God says, listen, I said it. It'll be done. But it'll be done when I want it done.
Right.
Now, all too often we get these words and whatnot, and we want to take them and run with them. See, you know, how often, well, you're going to be in business. You're going to get a bigger house. Well, that means next week I'm going to go get it. You know, it's in God's timing, but that's where you got to be seeking God and being led by his Holy Spirit in the midst of that process. You know, just like with Ed having to go through that for a year, it's about pressing in through that year. Okay, so what is it you want to teach me? I know where you're going to lead me. What do I need to know in the meantime? How do I need to be developed my character and whatnot?
You got to ruin it.
Don't listen to Sammy.
Seems like, I bet you're going to talk about us getting a house. Like, why does he have to ruin it? No, yeah. Whenever I think of God's promises and the waiting season, I always, for me, it's like you guys heard my prophecy last night. I'm always, you know, he said my guardian angel is like out of breath. He's worn out because I'm always going 10,000 miles an hour. And when we first got engaged, I was like, okay, we're going to get this. I'm going to get this job. We're going to get this house. We're going to have everything done. And it's like, God's like, oh, okay. Let's see how this plays out, Candace. And I remember just being so filled with doubt. And I was like, we're not, you know, Sammy doesn't have a job. We both work at CVS, making minimum wage. We don't have a house. We haven't gone and looked for any apartments. You know, how are we going to pay for this wedding? And it's like, Pastor Don always laughed at me when we were in marriage counseling. He's like, God's going to provide. And I'm just like, yeah, I know. But what Kenny said is like, what are you learning during that season? What are you learning during that time? And it was funny because God always does this to me, is he'll make me wait forever and then bam, it will happen. And it's like just to teach me that I'm going to give you patience and I want you to trust in me and just watch what I'm going to do for you, you know. And 3 months before we got married, Sammy got hired full time in at Chrysler. 10 days before we got married, we bought a house and moved in, and we were able to go to our house the night of our wedding day. So it was just like, not only did we get the house too, but we got so blessed with everyone giving us furniture and appliances and helping us out with, you know, repairs and everything. And it's like, all I had to do was trust and be patient in God, and he had everything already planned out for me. So
I guess you weren't reading the word, huh? Yeah. God has all your days numbered. I know we all do that, though. I'm making a joke of that, but we all do that, is we get to that point where we want something to happen. Like Kenny said, we have to be careful that we don't make it happen in our own way. And, you know, sometimes we mess things up big time, right? Sometimes it's even the words that come out of our mouth. I know at work I got to be careful. Sometimes I'll say something and I'm like, oh, I probably shouldn't have said that. I'm like, Lord, cover me on that one, please. Sometimes he'll tell me not to say something, and I'll still say it. I'm like, man, What is wrong with me? Just keep my mouth shut, right? Yeah. So, you know, we do have to be careful. Acts 2:38-39 says, Peter, this is Peter addressing the crowd here when the Holy Spirit came. He says, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." I guess I'd be these far off because, you know, that was 2,000 years ago, so I was covered under that far off portion. But the question is, you know, sometimes we hear this, a promise is unconditional. And if you read this, it's not unconditional, it's conditional. The first condition is repent and be baptized. Right? So everybody, like we read previous, was everybody is not Israel. Everybody is not the church. It's those who repent. The condition, you know, when you're, I'll go into my programming mode here. When you're programming something, I don't know how many of you guys know programs, but it's if is the statement, if this is true, and then you have then and else. So you have two conditions, true and false. So if you repent and are baptized, then you're the children of God. Else, you're not. If you don't meet the condition, the program says you're done. You know, and Jesus said that many times. He says, if you're not for me, you're against me. So, you know, even it's funny, I was watching this documentary. That's what I like to do. I watch all these war documentaries. But I was watching this one, Decisions That Changed the World. And one of them was like George Bush, George W. Bush. And he said, he got up, I'm sure some of you might remember this, and he says that we're going to go after the terrorism, right? And he says, if you're not with us, you're against us. So he forced everyone to make a decision that you're either going to be on our side, and if you don't make a decision, you made a decision, which means you're against us. Right? And that's what Christ says. If you don't make a decision, then you're already still in your sin, is what he says. Is if you're not with Christ, then you're still in your sin, which means God's wrath is still against you. And I don't want God working against me. Right? So why does he tell us that? You know, it seems harsh, but it's not. It's, hey, he's telling you, get on the boat. You want to be with me? Then get on the boat and you got these blessings, right? Doesn't mean that your walk is easy. It just means that it's going to be rewarding. Right? Who likes that? It drives me nuts, these football games and stuff, these little kids. Everybody gets a trophy. Come on, man. It's like, what kind of reward is that for a kid to get up every day, go and do the hard work, and then at the end of the day, you don't keep points, you don't keep score, and everybody gets a trophy. You guys are all winners. Come on. That's not biblical, right? So Paul said, run as to receive the reward. Persevere. Everybody doesn't get a trophy. I'm sorry. Only the best get trophies.
We were just talking about that in the elementary school the other day because there's a talent show coming up. And so you have all these parents who are in a firestorm because you can't cut anybody from the talent show. You know, we have to let, if 500 kids want to get up and do something, we have to let all 500 do it because we can't hurt their feelings. And so I just, you know, it made me laugh because I said, what are these kids going to do when they get to junior high and they're going to get cut? Their feelings are going to get hurt. But in that hurt feelings is where it's going to build their character and their strength. And, you know, you can't, I mean, you want to comfort them as parents and, you know, you want to, you know, tell them everything's going to be okay, but you need to see them sometimes. They have to fall in order to be able to know how to pick themselves back up. So that was just the joke the other day. We were laughing about it because I said, those kids are going to really be hurt when they get to elementary school or junior high and think that everything's going to be okay. I'll make the team even if I'm the worst runner or I'm the worst, you know, tumbler. I'm going to still make the team. And they're not. And those kids get crushed.
Right. Well, you know, it's like, hey, you can make the team. You're going to be the water boy or the guy who gets to all the clothes, whatever. Right? There's needs for, you know. The thing is you got to measure your talents and make sure that you're running your race to something that you can achieve, right? I'm not going to get up there and sing because I'm horrible. Right? I mean, it's okay. I know that. I'm not deceived. I'm not deceived that I think I can sing. I'm like, don't even ask me. I don't even sing on my own because I sound horrible to myself. God probably even says, don't sing, son. You know, I guess I got off there a little bit, but that just irritates me. You know, when we run a race, and you should know, you know, Candace is a good singer. So she's going to run. Candace Ismail, she's a good singer. So that's what God gave her. That's a talent he gave her. Each one of you have your own talents. And, you know, those people who think they're going to be a football, NFL football player, and they can't even catch a ball, they're not going to be. So to build them up in the gift that their character fits so that they can achieve what God's called them for, you know. We always want something that we don't have a lot of times. You know, you want to be that person that gets up there and, you know, does the singing and the angels part, you know. All the angels look over and they start singing with you. No. But I'm not that guy. They all run when I do that. All right. Last scripture here. 1 Kings 8:56. Says, praise be to the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel, just as he promised. Not one word has failed of all the good promises he gave through his servant Moses. Not one. You know, the scripture says, I'm trying to remember the scripture, but it talks about, you know, not one of God's words will fall. Not a single iota. And we could rest assured in that. So ending this, you know, is basically God's purpose is that we participate in his divine nature. The promises are for the church. The church are those who believe through faith. And God never misses, never forgets his promise. Like I said, you can take it to the bank that God will come through on every promise. And we look forward to the next teachers, and they're going to go in depth into each one of their promises. And just thank you guys for being a good crowd. All right. Let's have someone close in prayer.
I promise I'll get you to do it. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this teaching, Lord God. We thank you for Ed and Jennifer and just the amount of time that they put into it, Father God, the work, Father God, that goes forth, Lord God. Father, we thank you for the seed being planted in our hearts, Father God, that you bring it to fruition, Lord God. Just continue to water it. We lift up today's service, Father God. That we go down there with just a heart attitude of worshiping you, Father God, and just knowing that you are faithful, Father God. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.